Welcome to the Art and Science of Parenting podcast, where we discuss everyday parenting scenarios and walk you through the latest research on child development to help empower you to make informed parenting decisions.
Hi, my name is Charlotte Hoyle.
And I'm Lisa Duffin, and this is the first episode of our monthly podcast.
Welcome!
We hope to have a light, informal, and most importantly, informative chat about all things parenting and child development related to help guide you in raising happy, healthy, and well-adjusted children. So, who are we and what qualifies us to discuss this topic? So, Charlotte, do you want to go first?
Oh, yeah, sure. Well, hi. So, I've been working in childcare for over 24 years now, after qualifying from Norland, which is the leading training college for nannies in the UK. I moved to London and for the majority have been working directly with high net worth families in their homes as their nanny. I've also done some consulting posts, I suppose you'd say, in daycare settings, sort of educating their staff and helping them implement best practice. I've also done private consultancy work for families in their homes all over the UK.
And I'm Lisa, and I am a certified coach, and I work with parents to help them navigate the trials and tribulations of parenthood. And prior to working as a coach, I worked in mental health settings for over a decade in Australia, in the UK, and in Ireland. So shall we tell the people how we met, Charlotte?
Shall we? Well, I mean, yes, why not? It was a cold, wet January afternoon in 2014 at the library in UCL, that's University College London, where we were studying for our Masters in Child Psychology. I'd been hauled up in that library all day making notes, reading from them, trying my best to retain as much information as possible, and generally revising for our 5 o'clock exam. In runs Lisa, manically sits down next to me. I recognised her from our shooter group.
You know, I vaguely remember this.
I don't think we'd actually spoken, had we, before then?
I don't think so.
Definitely not like on a one-to-one. Anyway, she asked me to tell her what she needs to know for this exam. So I kind of started to calmly explain. And she's like, no, shouting, what's the crux? I just need the crux. So I kind of preceded all the information. We went down to sit our exam. And lo and behold, would you believe she actually scored higher than me?
So,
for a while, I was a little bitter, shall we say, to say the least.
A little bit sore. But that's just testament to how good of a teacher you are, Charlotte.
Thank you.
So Charlotte, coming from her educational background and me coming from my scientific background, coupled with our experience in the real world, we bring different but complementary views to the table. So most importantly, we are committed to bringing you guys proven techniques in the form of parenting tips, in the form of strategies and education that are grounded in science, that we both use with parents and children in our respective businesses day to day. Today, we want to discuss this very timely topic of children returning to school and some of the anxiety that might come with that for both you as the parent and for your child.
So I think, first of all, we should note that feeling anxious at this time is completely normal. And to be honest, we'd be more concerned if there wasn't any kind of level of anxiety for parents right now. Our reality is that we're bombarded with negative information to a level that we have never, ever experienced before.
Yeah, that's so true. I was actually thinking about this the other day, the now constant mainstream media news feed that is updated roughly every 20 minutes or so since March. And before all of this, that news feed was really only used when there was breaking news like a terrorist attack or a critical incident, and now it has become a permanent fixture, really, that many of us seek out on a daily basis. So just quickly, I want to touch on how that impacts us And really the crux of it is that it heightens our fight, flight, or freeze response. Mm. And the result is that we feel really, really anxious.
Yeah, sure. I've completely noticed that too. This constant news loop that was really only ever used for huge drama,
mm-hmm.
kind of huge effect. And now it's just...
It's part and parcel of the daily,
I agree. And I think kind of in my humble opinion, the best thing anyone can do for themselves is quite frankly, just turn it off. You know, of course, parents are going to be worried, especially since there are so many mixed messages out there in the ether. And our brains, I mean, by their very design, are constantly looking to effectively tie up those loose ends and are always searching for a solution. And of course, we know there are no answers where COVID is concerned. And there hasn't been any answers. And to be honest, it's probably going to be a long time before there are any answers.
Absolutely. And it's that open loop that allows for our anxiety levels to continue, really.
Yeah. So I think, firstly, off the back of that, I think we need to address what we understand to be the biggest source of anxiety amongst parents that we've spoken to. And that's the risk of transmission of COVID amongst children. And to answer that, I want us to look at basically a robust, unbiased piece of research from the British Medical Journal.
Okay. Yeah.
The BMJ have been consistently carrying out research during lockdown, and their latest offering is a piece of research which sampled 650 children across the UK from January to July. All these children had all had a diagnosis of COVID and were all being treated in hospital settings. They ranged from infants right up to 17-year-olds, so basically under 18. Were from multiple backgrounds and nationalities. And out of the 650 who were treated, six children did unfortunately pass away. And I'm certainly not kind of downplaying that, because even though, you know, even one child dying is one too many, I just would like to take those facts and figures and put them into perspective, that this is 1% of the total amount of children who had COVID that died, and these children all had coexisting life-threatening and life-shortening illnesses, and the rest of the children recovered. And I think if parents kind of know these really strong facts, then I just hope that kind of alleviates a bit of worry or anxiety that they have.
Absolutely. And I think it's key to discuss also the amount of scientific research that is out there, and I say scientific loosely, because you have to choose good research from bad research.
I think we both know that people can manipulate their research.
Absolutely. So if you are searching for things online, just be mindful of that. So what you're looking for in good, robust, reliable, and valid scientific research is a really decent sample size, a really, really good methodology, and really data analysis, which is on point.
Yeah, and I think also people need to realise that they need to look about who funded that research.
Yes. You know, was there an agenda?
Yeah, exactly. Please don't get your information from Facebook.
No.
So many people say, but I read on Facebook, you know, I saw on Facebook, right? What? No. Someone just make that up in their room.
No, if you're looking for research, a good place to start is Google Scholar.
Yeah.
Please go there before Facebook.
Yeah, I miss Google Scholar.
Well, for me personally, knowing what we do know about brain and child development, I would be more concerned with the impact of a child not being in an educational setting than I would be about the risk of transmission.
Yeah, agreed.
Especially in those formative years from the ages of 2 to 7, when we know that the skills such as socialising and learning to read are so very, very important. So let's take reading, for example. We know that reading is key to other keys in the educational system, and these should be prioritised tasks in the first 2 years of school. And that is evidenced by numerous pieces of research, but most recently by Solheim et al. In 2018. And the good news is that the Literacy Trust in England has found the amount of children reading has increased this year for the first time after a 15-year low.
I know, isn't it amazing?
It's so, just so encouraging to hear.
It's so encouraging. So this involved a study of just under 65,000 children. So, I mean, huge. I mean, we just said earlier about how your study, you've got to look at how many children or
the sample size.
And I mean, 65,000 children over from the UK is a massive sample. And they spoke to them over the duration of lockdown and found that increasingly more and more children were using reading as a form of escapism. Now, to be honest, it doesn't matter what reason children are using to read. You know, they just need to read. So this is just great news. And it's not only is it a way to cope with the possible anxiety that they were or are experiencing, but it's also the foundational building block for language skills, comprehension skills, creativity, critical thinking. It's just great, absolutely great.
It is, but there is the question, what if your child is not a keen reader?
Ah, well, panic not.
Why is that? Well,
it has actually, funnily enough, it has been proven that listening to audiobooks actually activates the same parts of the brain as reading. So in theory, they have not only the same benefit, but maybe even more, because the child hears the tone of the voice, the diction, the expression, the pronunciation, and the dialect, which you wouldn't get if the child was reading alone from a novel.
I know. I must admit, I was shocked when I read this research. But, I mean, it's proven. So that's excellent. So myself and Charlotte have been discussing this, and some of the audiobooks that we would recommend are... Well, we've come up with three. So the first one is Good Night Stories for Rebel Girls by, I'm about to butcher this name, Francesca Cavallo and Elena Favilli. And the second one is The Boy at the Back of the Class by Unahale Q. Ralph. And then finally, this name I can't pronounce is David Williams. And he has recently released 30 free audiobooks, which are fabulous.
Yeah, and I love the fact that he's released them for free in lockdown, kind of making books accessible to all.
Absolutely.
You know, it's so important. So what if you can't get your child to read or listen to an audiobook? Well, that's the importance of interaction with other children, and that's where that comes into play, which is another huge factor as to why your child needs to go back to school.
Yes, it is absolutely crucial to children's development.
Yeah, it's all about peer learning and what we refer to in educational psychology as scaffolding. It's really what children are getting from schooling, especially in those formative years. They need multiple others of a similar age in order to learn and to navigate social situations. It helps them to support one another, to become more independent and promote their learning and their development.
Yeah, I guess we can kind of liken it to on-the-job training.
Mm-hmm.
So during these interactions, children are effectively learning the rules, in inverted commas, of how to be a human in society.
Yeah. So such as sharing, compromising, taking turns, I guess essentially cooperating.
Cooperating, yeah. I guess neither of us can emphasize enough how important socialization is. It is one of the, if not the most important and fundamental building blocks for all aspects of development into adulthood.
So what are the messages that we really want to impart today? I'd say the importance of getting our children back to school and socialising far outweigh the minimal COVID risk. And reading and audiobooks are also excellent tools both for anxiety and as a fundamental building block for a child's learning.
Great. Well, we trust that you have learned something today and feel a little less anxious about sending the kids back to school. If you'd like to more information on either of us, you can contact Charlotte at
My email is charlotte@nurture-consultancy.co.uk. Or you can email me, sorry, you can look at my website, which is www.nurture-consultancy.co.uk.
And if you'd like to get in touch with myself, you can reach me at coaching@lisaduffin.com, or my website is www.lisaduffin.com. And you can also subscribe to our social media channels.
If you'd like to hear us discuss something specific to parenting or child development, we'd love to hear from you.
Yes, absolutely. So please do let us know.
So until next time, stay well, keep positive, and thank you for listening.
Thank you so much.